Bibles open to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. And I'll be reading verses 35 through 38. And now, Reverend Scott, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses where Jesus had healed the two men that were blind, and then he healed the man that was demon-possessed that could not speak and possibly could not hear. It's the Greek word there could mean either or both. And Jesus was showing in his illustration that there were people that were spiritually blind and spiritually deaf and unable to speak or unwilling. He showed in his miracles examples of what he was teaching. He showed also his power over the demons. Now, remember, we talked a little bit about demons and how demons are real and that our struggle in this world, as it tells us in Ephesians 6:12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And they are active in the work to try to thwart God's plan. They're not going to regain their position in heaven that they once had before they rebelled against God. But it's more like they're wanting to try to take as many down with them as possible, showing God that they can still have an influence. Well, they are active in the world, trying to lead people astray from the truth. But Jesus, God, is the one that has power over every force in the universe. He is the one that the demons beg permission from to do anything. Now, I was listening to the news on the way home today, listening to some of the more recent efforts in our world to thwart the plan of God, but also to usher in the prophecy of God. There's renewed effort from now, not only the World Health Organization, but the G20, which is a group of 20 of the world's leading nations, to institute a global currency, an electronic banking, and a worldwide identity card so they can help make sure that all the financial transactions are not to your detriment, is what they're saying, but it's a way to track you. And with all the electronic tracking, they can see exactly where you are, everything you buy, and it's just a short step from having a worldwide credit card, if you will, to getting rid of the credit card and just having it as a tattoo or something on your body. Scripture says this is going to happen. Short of a revival, the plan is going to unfold that leads us right into the one world government of the Antichrist, who is the puppet of Satan himself, who will give authority to him, and delude the crowds. Demons are real, and we're in a spiritual battle. It doesn't matter what happens here on earth if you're a Christian, because your future is secure. But it does matter here on earth if you're not a Christian, because if you don't make a decision to have your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, you're headed to an eternity in hell. The Pharisees rejected the authority of Jesus. They saw everything he was doing. They saw him casting out demons. They saw the healings. They saw his miracles. But they couldn't get past their wanting to be in charge. And they refused to acknowledge the truth that they saw. They were like the blind men that couldn't see the truth. They refused to. And that leads us to our passage today. Jesus had healed the demon-possessed men, the blind men. And then it says, he continued going around to all the towns and villages. Remember the commercial of the Energizer Bunny? He just keeps going and going and going and going. Well, Jesus kept going and going and going and going. He went to all the towns. He wasn't slowing down. He did get tired. He would fall asleep in a boat in a storm-tossed sea, which is not easy to do. Although, if you're tired enough, you can sleep through just about anything. I was telling Lana one day after a hurricane, growing up in North Florida, no power, windows are open, and there's chainsaws right outside my window. And I was sleeping soundly because I was tired. That storm had kept us up. Well, Jesus did not stop. He kept going to all the towns and villages. He didn't skip anything. The grandkids come over, and one of the grandkids' favorite movie is Cars. And one of the things with Cars is there's this little town called Radiator Springs that got bypassed by the interstate. Well, Jesus didn't bypass any of these little towns. And if Radiator Springs had been a town in Israel at the time of Jesus, Jesus would have gone to Radiator Springs. Jesus went to all the towns and villages there. And many of them ceased to exist for a long time and now are being rediscovered. Jesus went to all the towns and villages. If you've ever gone on Google Maps, you can click on a thing called Street View. And if you go along that, you can see it. And just follow the arrows, you can go down all the streets around. Well, the way they get those street views is somebody has to drive a car with cameras mounted on the roof up and down every street in every town that they have street view of. They don't skip any streets. Now, interesting, there is a few interesting pictures from street view. One is if you pan out, you can see in the reflection of the store window, the street view camera car driving by. And I think another one they caught, there were two cars close by and one took a picture of the other. Well, Jesus went to all the places. Nothing was overlooked. And it says he was teaching in their synagogues. The synagogue would be the equivalent of our churches today. That's the place that you would expect people would be wanting to learn more about God. But, like many of our churches today, a lot of people are in the churches for the wrong reason, are not showing up at church. Sort of like students that I had in high school. They were more concerned about their cell phone than about the material that was being taught to help them understand how to graduate from high school. Jesus was not only teaching in the synagogues, it was saying he's preaching the good news of the kingdom. That's the message that needed to be heard. Got a call at work today from a telemarketer. It's like, I didn't need that message. And I quickly told, I'm at work right now. I don't want to hear your message. It wasn't a message I needed to hear. Now, it might have been a message the telemarketer needed me to hear so he could get paid, but it wasn't a message I needed to hear. Well, Jesus was spreading a message that everybody needs to hear. Because if you do not hear the message of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, you have no hope for what's coming next. You have no hope for the judgment that's coming and how to be prepared for it. But the good news starts with the bad news. The bad news is we are all sinners. And we have fallen short of God's standard. The good news is the debt we owe because of our sin, Jesus, God Himself, offers to pay it. And Jesus was spreading the message that everyone in Israel and everyone today needs to hear. And then it says, not only he is preaching the good news of the kingdom, he was healing every disease and every sickness. Now, Lon and I like to watch a medical show. And the medical show, they can't cure every case that comes to them. Some people die. Some people don't get any better. Some people get worse. Nobody that was brought to Jesus got worse. Everyone that was brought to Jesus got healed. Imagine Jesus in a hospital emergency room. As soon as they walk in the door, he heals them. Okay, and they walk back out. The doctors are just sitting there going, twiddling thumbs, but they don't have anything to do. And it's the same in the time of Jesus. The doctors didn't have anything to do because Jesus was healing every disease. And then Jesus saw the crowds. There were lots of people coming to him, but they weren't all coming for the right reason. If you've ever been to a football game, especially a college or high school football game, about half the people are rooting for the wrong team. They were there at the game, and they saw your team, but they were rooting for the other team. They didn't understand who they should be cheering for. When the crowds came to Jesus, they didn't understand that they needed to embrace the message of Jesus Christ. A lot of them were just coming for free health care. I'll get cured, but I don't want to hear about how to get right with God. I just want to hear about how to get rid of whatever disease I have. And Jesus, it said, felt compassion for them. Jesus wasn't just there checking a time card. I'm here to heal diseases from 8 to 5. He worked long hours. No, he was there. He healed diseases because he was concerned. He cared about them. A lot of people work jobs they don't care about being at. They're there for the paycheck. And if you've been to some of these people at some of these stores, you can tell who cares about their customer and who doesn't. A lot of times you can go into stores and they're having their little chat in the corner about their friends that they saw doing such and such. And the customers are having a long line just waiting for the one person that's actually doing the job to take care of them. And it's not just one store. You see it all over the place. People don't have the compassion for others. If you want to see people that don't have compassion, try driving on the interstate in Houston and trying to get off on an exit ramp. You'll have people from behind you zoom around in front of you, get beside you, block you off on the ramp, and then cut back before they turn on the ramp and you've gone too far to get by also. There, but it's nothing new. I remember driving in Houston traffic 30 years ago, and it was the same way then. And I remember telling somebody, I could have sworn I saw on the side of one of the cars like a World War II fighter jet with kills, but they had cars with how many they'd run off the side of the road. Well, Jesus cared about the people he were healing, cared about the people he was talking to, because he said they were distressed and dejected. Brought to mind a song I hadn't thought about in a long time, a Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby. And the chorus of Eleanor Rigby goes, "Look at all the lonely people." Jesus saw all the lonely, sad, mourning people. They had no joy. They had no hope. They were coming to him. He had compassion on them. Said they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have anybody to guide them. Sheep will be eaten by the wolves, the lions, the tigers and bears alike. No, if they don't have somebody to protect them. They also need to know where to find the food, the water. They need to be protected and led and taken care of. Our country started on the East Coast. Eventually, after the Louisiana Purchase, people started moving west. There were mountains. There was lots of area without water. And people would get together in a group in a wagon train, and there would be a trail boss. The wagon train trail boss leader knew the passes through the mountains, knew where to ford the deep rivers, knew where there was water within a distance that they could get with the water they could carry on their wagons. And many people made it across from the Mississippi River all the way to California. My father-in-law has a neat book where you can go. It shows where they followed part of the trail, where the ruts are still there, where the wagon trains went and forded the river out in Idaho. And it's neat to, you can still see where the wagon trains went. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Now, there were people in the position of shepherds, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, but they were not leading the people as they should. So Jesus turned to his disciples and said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few." I caught a show, a part of a show, as I was walking by, of this big harvester reaping the wheat in a field. Can you imagine reaping the wheat with, and you can't find a harvester? It's going to take a long time. You're not going to get it all done in time. Jesus is looking out over the fields and seeing it. They need to be harvested. It's time for the harvest. But there's not enough people to do it. And he told his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest, reminding us God is the one in charge of everything, to send out workers into his harvest field. The field belongs to God. There are workers that are needed. Somebody needs to be sent out. Somebody needs to be in charge. I remember watching a documentary on 9/11. There was a new head of the FAA. His first day on the job was September 11th, 2001. He's in charge of making sure all the planes get safely from one place to another. Everything's flying smooth. And his first day, you have planes crash into the World Trade Center building. And he orders an immediate grounding of all the flights in the United States. Everybody land at the nearest airport. In the interview of him, I heard it. You know, I could have got fired for that, but all I was thinking is, I need to get any potential plane that's going to crash into a building on the ground to keep as many people safe as possible. He's the one that gave the order, every plane land immediately. They had already issued an order, nobody else take off, but there were a lot of planes still in the air. He took the authority. He is the one that gave the order to land all the planes. Jesus is telling his disciples, ask the one who has authority to send out people to do the work. And Sunday, or you can read ahead, you'll see who God sent out. Stand with me for our closing prayer. We'll have a short break, and then we'll have a short business meeting. Dear God, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that we will listen to your words, have compassion for others as you did, and answer the call to go into the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to take a bathroom break, go ahead.